Nikki and I have been taking care of her mother and dad. They have older. Her father just passed away in April. And he was living with us, and that was a really incredible story. I'd like to just take a minute, because to me it's so...
Well, it's a miracle.
A miracle. I don't know, you folks that grew up in Ely knew Nikki's grandparents, the Burdicks and Bialys. They were not the most religious folks in town, I would tend to believe. In fact, I remember when I told your mom that who Nikki was, why her eyes were smiling that I was in Gates, and all of a sudden her mouth didn't drop. I thought, oh my goodness.
I was the white sheep of the family.
But with that in mind, you need to realize that her father grew up learning the ways of Ely, Nevada, and things that were not in any way gospel-oriented in any form. And he, throughout his life,
and
he started smoking and drinking. And
at a very young age.
Spent time in the Navy during the war.
Tough guy.
And a very manly man, as the world would call it. And as he went later on, he realized that smoking wasn't something you should do, and he just quit.
He wanted to be a runner, a marathon runner.
And so he quit
and
ran over 100 marathons.
Wow. After he turned 50.
He decided, he worked as a supervisor for AT&T, one of the companies, I don't know AT&T, but one of the
Nevada Bell.
Their subsidiaries, and decided that he wanted to quit drinking. He was an alcoholic. He finally realized that, and just tried three times before he could finally whack it, and he did. And when we cleaned out his house before they moved out with us, why, up on the shelf, what was it, 10
probably.
Beautiful, prettiest bottles you ever saw. Still, you know, we thought they were just bottles, but
we thought they were all empty, you know.
Totally.
Full.
Underneath the sink was a total menagerie of never had to sit there. He decided that was what he wanted to do. And every day, got up and walked. He came to live with us, and we were, they said something that we ought to each of us find someone who we could to try to help to bring back. Nikki said, we've got a neighbor. She said, boy, that's who we ought to do. And I said, well, we ought to kind of talk with your dad. So
she said, oh, yeah, sure.
Sure.
Good luck with that one.
Make a long story short, we asked him if he'd go to, why, of course I will. I would love to.
He asked us.
Yeah, he asked
if he could go to church with us. The first Sunday he lived with us was April conference. He watched every session. The next week he said, when do you go to church on Sunday? And I told him the time. And he said, do you think I could go? I said, we'd love to have you come with us. So when he started coming, he would just come to sacrament meeting, because he was 86, and he walked with a walker or a cane. So he would just come to sacrament meeting, and then Robert would take him home. After a couple of months of that, Robert said, you need to ask your dad if he'd like to talk to the missionaries. I said, oh, you've got to be kidding. So I got up my courage and I said, Dad, would you like the young missionaries to come around and tell you a little bit about the church? I'd love that.
Oh, my.
Oh, my heavens. So we had the young missionaries come one night. And my dad fell in love with a senior companion. His name was Elder Martin. And Elder Martin visited us once a week for 6 months. He gave my dad every lesson that the missionaries had to give. He went through every pamphlet he could lay his hands on.
You need to realize he couldn't hear hardly at all. He had macular degeneration, couldn't see hardly a thing.
Elder Martin would get right on the couch next to him with his iPad, and he would make his iPad just as big as the words could get, and he would read it with my dad just sitting there, or dad watching him, you know. Anyway, dad fell in love with Elder Martin. But to make a long story short, he moved in with us the end of March, and the next January, we went to the temple with him. He was 87 years old, and he went to the temple for the first time.
Sweet.
1 month to the day after we got home from the temple, he fell and broke his hip. So after the surgery, he was in a rehab center. And he was in this rehab center for about 7 weeks, learning while the hip healed and so he could get some weight on it.
You need to realize he walked at least 2 miles.
Every day.
Every day.
With his walker, with his walker around the block, out in Genola where we live. Everybody in town knew my dad because they would drive by and they'd say, Brother Burdick, what are you doing so far from home? And
looking for a ride.
Can't I give you a ride home, you know? Anyway, he broke his hip. After he had walked his 2 miles and was coming up onto the driveway of our house, his walker, the only thing we can figure is the hip broke before he fell, and then he fell.
Pathological fat fracture from osteoporosis.
And so he'd been in rehab for about 7 weeks and was scheduled to come home because he was now able to put weight on his hip and walk with his walker in the rehab center. And because he'd been bedridden with this broken hip, he had had a catheter in all this time. And on Wednesday, they took the catheter out, preparing him to come home on the following Monday. And the next day, his body started shutting down. And on Saturday morning, about 5 o'clock, I got a call from the rehab center saying that they were sending my dad to the hospital in an ambulance. So I said, well, I'll be right there. But as soon as I hung up the phone, I knew that he was gone. So he didn't ever get to come home. And that was the middle of April.
But talk about the blessings of a mission. Just one of the little ones. And you never know where they're coming. In fact, they'll probably come and hit you to the side of the head.
When we were in Sweden, my dad had a massive heart attack. And it should have killed him. But it didn't. And our kids were convinced that it was because we were in Sweden that he didn't die, and that there had to be some reason for it. And now we know what the reason was.
Happy for you, Nikki. That's a great story.
So, anyway, my mom has Alzheimer's, and she's in a care facility. So we still have her that we're watching. But
anyway, that's never one of the things
up.
That's
awesome. Never give up. 87 years old.
That's a great story.
So, anyway, thanks. Thanks for being my family.
Anyway, that's one of our tales. Enjoy it.
That's a
sorry,
quite a story.